Well, good morning. It's good to be home again. And when Dwayne said about the thing about vacation, not always being vacation when you go do ministry, I could say amen to that. In fact, I told the family when we were there in Belize working, it's like, I got to go back to work so I can get some rest. But it was good. Hopefully I'll get to tell you about it someday. Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 127, it says, don't you see, this is the Message paraphrase, it says, don't you see that children are God's best gift, the fruit of the womb, his generous legacy, like a warrior's fistful of arrows, are the children of a vigorous youth. Oh, how blessed are you parents with your quivers full of children. Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You'll sweep them right off the doorstep. Like, I like that. I like that. Children are a gift of God. Especially, and somewhere else it says something about the old age, when the old age you have children around you. They're like, here it says, like quivers in the arrows of a mighty warrior. They're a gift from God. And this fellowship, this church, is extremely blessed in that department. Sometimes it seems here that baby dedications are as commonplace as communion is in most churches. And that's good. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. This morning, we're planning to dedicate two of them, Lee and Christy, and Kevin and Rhoda. Bring their two little girls, Carice Menu and Kyla Ruth. I get to stumble over those names a lot. But they're bringing them to us this morning to dedicate. But before we do that, I want to look at Scripture. I wanted to look at Scripture just a little bit, and I got to dig my glasses out. Seems as I get older and older, my eyes get worse and worse. We want to look at Scripture, and we want to pull out some examples of Scripture of baby dedications. And we want to look at those examples, and we want to look at what it means to dedicate someone or something, because there is different examples in the Bible of dedications, not just of babies, but of other things. And so I want to look at what it means to dedicate something to the Lord. And then I want to look at how that applies to us. What does it mean when we look at the examples and when we look at the meaning of dedication? How does that apply to us? What does that mean when we stand up here and say, yes, I dedicate this baby to God? How do we apply that? And you might ask, well, why do we have to do that? It's basically because maybe I have a fear. And I fear that the frequency of our baby dedication breeds complacency or maybe even a degree of carelessness in the way we do this, or in the manner that we do this. What do I mean? Complacent. I don't know if you know what complacent means, but I'm going to tell you. It means to be self-satisfied. It seems to be like you're satisfied. It's after you eat. You're satisfied. You sit down on the easy chair. You fall asleep. And you become unaware of the possible dangers. That's what complacent means. What about careless? It says not giving enough careful attention to the details of something. So it's like eating a meal somewhere. Let's just say you took a picnic to the forest and you had a good meal and you become full and satisfied and you lean back to take a nap. Never even thinking about maybe there's lions or, well, not here, but I was going to say lions and tigers and things like that. But, well, let's just use lions and tigers. But you lean back and say, oh, I'm going to take a nap. So you've become complacent, you're satisfied, and you tend to forget about the dangers that are around you. So what does it look like if we come to these baby dedications then complacent and careless? What's it look like? Well, we're satisfied. We have these babies born to us. We've been praying for these children. And God has given to us. So we have what we wanted. And we come. We dress them up nice and we put little bows in their hair and take them off again and put them on again. And that's all right and good. It's a chance to show them off, maybe. But we do that, and then we're going to stand up here on the stage, and we're going to say, I hate using stage, but that's what it is, I guess. Up front here, and we're going to say, yep, we give them back to God, and it's even nice sounding. Sounds nice. It's godly. Maybe even I wonder sometimes if we think we're doing God a favor by saying, yep, we're going to give them back to God. So we come to this service and we go through it and we come up here and the preacher asks us several nice and important sounding questions that I wonder sometimes, I don't know, I can't put yourself in your, or can't put myself in your shoes, but I'm wondering sometimes if we just answer these questions and don't think about what we're saying or what the question really was. We answer without giving much thought to them. And then we leave from here, and maybe we never even think about those questions that we said, yes, we will, and I do, and all that stuff. Kind of like getting married, you know, we say the vows and then go on and do what we want to do. But I wonder if that's what happens. I'm talking to both the parents and the rest of us this morning. Because every baby dedication we go through, the whole church makes a commitment. You know, the Bible speaks to such carelessness. Proverbs 20:25 says, it is a trap for anyone to dedicate something rashly or quickly or without thinking about it, is what rashly means, and later reconsider his vows or later do something. I like how another version puts it. A man is trapped if he makes a hasty promise to God and then only later thinks about what he said. It's like coming up here and say, yep, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and then later say, well, you know, we'll do something different. It's a trap. You're trapped. The Bible's saying, that's why I think it's important that we look at Scripture and see examples of dedication, what it means to dedication, to dedicate something, and then how it applies. So what are some examples in the Bible? Well, the first one I want to look at is found in Luke 2:22. This is the account of Jesus when he was born. And at the proper time, his parents took him up to the temple. This was an Old Testament law. They took him to the temple. It says, when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I would like to think they went through a service something like this, where the parents did something symbolically to give him back to God, to present him to the Lord. That's what it says, to present. So we have that one. The second example was found in Genesis 21 to 22, those two chapters. It's the example of Abram and Sarah and their son Isaac. Hopefully you know the story, because I'm just going to quickly paraphrase this so this doesn't get too long. You know, Abraham and Sarah were around 100 years old. They were like 99 years old when God promised them a son. Now you have to put yourself in their position, because God had promised them that he was going to make a great nation out of Abraham. And here he is, 99 years old and no children. One day three angels showed up and met him, and they were talking under the oak tree. Next time I go to Israel, I'm going to go see where those eight trees are, because they're still there. But they had a conversation, and the angel said, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. And guess who was listening in the tent? And she started out laughing. She said, I'm 99 years old. I'm dry. I'm shriveled up. You go read it. That's what it says in the Bible. She says, I'm old and shriveled up. And you say, I'm going to have a child? The angels told her, by this time next year, when we come back, you'll have a son. So they had that son. God's promise was fulfilled. So they thought. So life was going on. I don't know how long it went. When God said, you know what, Abraham, you love that son so much. I wonder if you love that son enough to give him back to me. Your only son, are you willing to give him back? Now, it doesn't say that to dedicate, but he said, I want him back. not in so many words. He said, I want you to go up to a mountain that I'm going to show you, and I want you to build an altar and strap your son to that altar and offer him up to me as a burnt sacrifice. Now, you might say, why are you telling us that story? That's pretty extreme. But that is what God is asking us to do this morning. Not asking us to literally put them on the altar, but he's asking us to put our children on the altar to the point where they're no longer our children, but they're God's children. They've been given to God, and we have just been entrusted them to us. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, because I think that is one of the hardest things for us to do as a parent, to literally give them back to the Lord. So what does Abraham do? He takes him up to the mountain, and you know the story. He puts him on the altar, and just as he was about to literally kill his son, he was that dedicated to the Lord. And I tell you this story, too, in part because it talks about the dedication of the parents. Are you dedicated to the Lord enough to lay your children on the altar? And you know the rest of the story, that Isaac was delivered out of that and God provided a ram. What about the story of Samuel? That's a well-known story we always go to in child dedications. Samuel, 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel first chapter, talks about this man named Elkanah. You know, he had two wives. I won't even make a joke. But he had two wives, Penina and Hannah. Now, Penina had many children. But Elkanah loved Hannah more. And I guess that was a rift between the two wives, because it says Penina would aggravate. I don't know if that's the word, but would actually throw this in Hannah's face. Say, look at all the children God has given me. And they would go up every year to the temple to offer sacrifices and whatever all they did up there. And year by year, it seemed like this rubbing Hannah's nose in it happened that time of year, because it says that every year they went, the husband gave a bigger portion to Hannah. Well, I guess this got too much to bear, because one year it bothered Hannah so much, and she wanted a child so bad, that she was praying there in the temple, and she was praying so intently for a child that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. It says she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Made a promise, made a vow to give him back, and no razor shall touch his head. Well, the Lord granted Hannah her request, and a son Samuel was born to them. You know, in due time, you know, the first year, her husband went back, and she said, let me wean him first. I think she was having second thoughts. She said, let me wean him first. Elkanah took her back to the promise and said, okay, I'll let you go this year. Do what seems best. I guess it was the next year. It doesn't say for sure that she took him up and dedicated him to God. Find that in 1 Samuel then, verses 27 and 28, says, I prayed for a boy, and since the Lord gave me what I asked him for, I now give the boy to the Lord. For as long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. And then he bowed down in worship to the Lord there. The point is, she made a vow to the Lord. And even through her struggle of giving that child up to the Lord, I'm sure it was a struggle. I'm not a woman. But it seems to me that it's harder for a mother to cut the apron strings than it is for a dad or for a father. But she remembered the promise that she had made to the Lord to give him back. And she did it. And she left Samuel there for the rest of his life. Can you, as a mother, imagine leaving your... Let's just say he was 5 years old. I don't know how old he was. Can you imagine taking your child somewhere and leaving him and knowing that you only get to see him once a year? when you go up to the temple every year to do your yearly sacrifices. I can't imagine, and I'm not a woman. So there are some biblical examples. Just tuck those kind of back in your mind. Because now I want to look at what it means to dedicate something. What does it mean to give to the Lord? What does it mean to dedicate something, someone, or something? Well, to dedicate, when I went to the dictionary, it says to devote to, or to commit to surrender. You know what surrender is, right? No rights, privileges anymore. You put yourself at the mercy of somewhere else, someone else, so you surrender. You set aside as holy. Even the worldly dictionary said to set aside as holy, or to give over to, or to give. So, what happens when we come together to dedicate a baby to the Lord? Here's what we're doing. Or here is what we're telling God. We're telling God that we're going to set this child apart. That we're actually going to take steps to ensure to the greatest of our ability that this child, when it grows up, is going to follow God and His will without doubt or without reservation, without holding back. We're going to do everything in our power. And hopefully I'll remember to talk a little bit more about that, because I don't think we as parents do much of that. I think a lot of what we do as parents is to keep our children around us. Okay, so we're telling God that we're going to set this child apart. We're going to tell God that we are ready to give this child over to the will of God. And that's still nice sounding till the next statement, that we're also willing to surrender our will. We're willing to surrender our will for this child. We're willing to surrender our dreams for this child. We're willing to surrender our plans for this child. And furthermore, we're going to be active in the training and teaching and preparing this child for a life of service to the Lord. Isn't that what Hannah done? That's tough. And in surrendering this child, we're also saying that whatever God has for this child in his or her, in this case, this morning, her life, that we as parents are not only going to bless that, but we're going to encourage that. And we're going to help teach and train that child to that end. Is that not what the Bible teaches us? When we look at what dedication means, it's not a light thing. I remember, believe it or not, I remember 17 and 18 years ago when we dedicated our two children. Not at the same time, but in fact, I went back and dug out the questions that we answered. And they're almost the same questions. There goes my glasses. We kept those things. And I've looked at them several times throughout the years. I remember the feeling of wow, what a responsibility. Answering those questions and then helping to guide our children to that end. And that really has been our guide for our children and teaching them and training them to follow the will of God wherever He calls them to. If it's here, or Africa, or Indonesia, or wherever the Lord has for them. Will it be easy? No. As a parent, I want my children around me. But I promise God that I'm giving them to Him for whatever His purpose is. Now, if I give something to somebody, how much right do I have to dictate what happens to that thing? Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And that's what we're doing with our children this morning, is giving them over our rights, our privileges, everything about it is gone. The only responsibility we have is to train them to reach that goal that God has. In effect, what we're doing this morning is cutting the apron strings at an early age. I know that goes against everything, but that's what we're literally doing, is cutting the apron strings this morning already. It's like cutting the umbilical cord at birth. Today, we are promising God we will train them, and then we are willing to let them go at the appropriate time for His service. Hopefully, you're not having second thoughts this morning. If you're not, after this next little bit, you may have. Let me show you the seriousness. Well, let me just say that about cutting the apron strings. As I observe families over my 40-some years on earth, one of the saddest things I see is when parents are not willing to cut the apron strings in their children's lives. There is nothing more damaging, there's nothing sadder, there's nothing more crippling in a child's life in being able to serve the Lord than the parents still tied, or the children still tied to the apron string. Nothing more sadder, nothing more crippling. Our job is to train them up and then let me go. Let me show you the seriousness of dedicating something, and in this case it's a something, not a child, but dedicating something is just as serious as dedicating someone. Remember the story of the children of Israel when they were coming back to the promised land. And they crossed, they were at the Jordan River. And they looked across into the promised land, and the city of Jericho was there. And they sent spies over, and the spies came back and said, "We cannot take that city. It's got walls that are, I looked up one time, were like 6 feet thick, had like 2-3 foot walls with a separate, we can't take it, the walls are too big. We can't take it." But Joshua said, it's a long story, but I'm paraphrasing, okay? Said, "Yes, we can." They went over to the promised land, they marched around it 7 days in a row, last day was 7 days, and Joshua said, and I couldn't find anywhere, and I didn't do a lot of serious reading, but I couldn't find where God commanded them to dedicate all of Jericho to the Lord. But I did find where Joshua commanded them. They said, when the walls fall down and we go into the city, you destroy man, women, child, animals, because they have all been dedicated, all been given over to the Lord. The money, the silver, the gold, anything with worth has been dedicated to the Lord. You bring that back and you put it into the treasury. So that's what happened. They went, the walls fell down, they went in, they destroyed everything, they brought the money back, they put it in the treasury, and everything was hunky-dory until they went out to fight the next battle at Ai. And they went and they said, "Oh, we can take this with, I think, 10,000 men, because Ai is just a small place." They went up about and they got beat. And Joshua was on the floor crying out to God, whining, really. He was whining to God and said, "Why did you let this happen? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt?" God said to Joshua, he said, "Stand up. Why are you on the ground?" He said, "Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant that I appointed for them. They have to," I guess this is where maybe we would take that. God said that this Jericho was dedicated to me. Said they violated my covenant that I appointed for them. They have taken some of what was set apart or dedicated. They have stolen, deceived, and put the things with their own belongings. And they went through that and they found Achan with gold and things hidden in the floor of his tent. One thing I want us to think about this. They stole from God. Everything was given to the Lord, right? But they took some things and kept back a portion. They stole from God. What does this say? It says Israel has sinned. So, what is it that one family sinned, but yet the whole group suffered for it? It said they have stolen. The group has stolen. So what can we learn? Can we learn that when there's sin, when we dedicate something here, and then we go back on our promise, that the whole church suffers? I believe so. I believe so, and I think the rest of Scripture would bear that out. So, what lessons can we learn from these stories in Scripture? Number one, it is right and it is good to dedicate our children to the Lord. That's right and good. I think God is pleased when we do that, when we do it in seriousness. Number two, I think it seems that for dedication to be real and sincere, it takes a godly, praying mother to wholly surrender that child to the Lord. Because like I said, it's harder for the mother than it is for the father to let go of the child. So we need a godly, praying mother to surrender that child up and to truly surrender. And to maybe we should have, I've often thought about it at weddings, but never had the opportunity, but maybe we should do it at baby dedications where we symbolically cut the apron strings to the child. See, God takes it seriously when we say that we surrender something to Him and then we really don't. That's nothing more than lip service. And the last one I talked about a little bit already. When we say we give something to God and then act like it's still ours, it's corporate sin that needs to be dealt with. So Kevin and Rhoda and Lee and Christy, if you're still wanting to dedicate these beautiful children to the Lord this morning, if you're ready and if you're willing to release those children to God and symbolically cut the apron strings this morning, to release those children to God for His purpose, I invite you to come forward this morning. And they've also asked if Emmanuel would come up in the absence of some grandparents. So Emmanuel's going to stand with them, and Ruth, my Ruth. She's a little younger grandma than grandpa is there. But she is kind of a grandma nonetheless. So this morning we're going to have a testimony by the fathers. Then we're going to have some questions for them and a prayer of dedication. And then I'm going to do something a little bit different, and I got this out of the story of Hannah, if you read, or the story of Samuel. If you read that story at the end, Hannah has a prayer of thanksgiving and praise to God. And I think that was something that she had to do to settle in her heart that she has released this child to God. So I've asked the mothers to have that prayer at the end then, each one. So, Lee, would you like to go first?
Well, I count it a privilege to be able to dedicate Kyla. And we've heard a lot this morning about the seriousness of it. And it's something I've always thought about. It is serious, but our children are serious. God gives them to us for a period of time. And what we do with that, very minute, it's not long, that influences their whole life. And I just want to be faithful to be able to teach and train Kyla, because she's about to enter the stage of the serious training and learning time. And I just would invite your prayers and interest as we raise our family. I invite input if you see something I can be doing better. That would be my goal. My goal is to have godly children and a godly family. And it starts with me, but I invite input into that. So if you think of us, pray for us, and we thank you for the input you have put into our lives, and we pray that we can give back.
Okay. Lee and Christy, in the presence of God and these witnesses, do you recognize Kyla Ruth as a gift entrusted to you by God to love, cherish, and train in righteousness? Do you pledge yourselves by the grace of God to be diligent and patient beyond the call of duty to bring up Kyla Ruth in the fear and admonition of the Lord through teaching and being a living example of Christian leadership? Lee and Chrissy, are you now willing to surrender your will to God and to release and dedicate Kyla Ruth to the Lord for whatever purpose He has for her? Is it your desire then to share your responsibility with this congregation through inviting their prayers, counsel, and encouragement in Christian family growth? Okay, for you as a congregation, are you willing to commit yourself to assisting? Now listen to what I'm saying. Are you willing to commit yourselves to assisting Lee and Christy and to surround Kyla Ruth with grace, love, and patient teaching, both by word and deed? If that's what you desire, would you stand, please? And now, having presented Kyla Ruth for dedication to God, do you also desire to rededicate yourselves to Christ and, in the spirit of this recommitment, to live exemplary lives relying upon the grace of God to model Christ by your example? Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you so much for this family. God, we thank you for this child. God, I just pray that you would bless Kyla Ruth. God, as she grows, God, would you surround her with people that would just point her to you? And God, I just pray that at the appointed time that she would accept you as your Lord, as her Lord and Savior. God, would you protect her? God, would you protect her from the evil one? Pray for Lee and Christy, God, as they raise her, that you would give them much grace. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is the God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes life and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one, those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the end of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, Kevin and Rhoda. Kevin, would you like to say a word?
I, too, am thankful for this opportunity this morning. And it was just impressed upon me again this morning, the seriousness of this. And as he was talking about the story of Samuel, I'm glad that I didn't have to bring three bulls with me this morning to sacrifice for this. And I'm also glad that we can take Carice back home with us after this is done. But that doesn't take away from the responsibility I have as a father. And it's a big responsibility, and I ask that you as a church would pray for me in that area. And I was also thinking, you know, I would love to have my parents and her parents and our grandparents up here, but my family, we're scattered. It's always been that way. But I'm blessed to have you guys here, church family. And I just want to express my appreciation for you all as a church. You're our family. We look forward to coming home to South Carolina whenever we go somewhere. And we just are glad that you guys are here to do this with us.
Okay. Kevin and Rhoda, in the presence of God and these witnesses, do you recognize Carice Menu as a gift entrusted to you by God to love, cherish, and train in righteousness? Do you pledge yourselves by the grace of God to be diligent and patient beyond the call of duty to bring up Carice Menu in the fear and admonition of the Lord through teaching and being a living example of Christian leadership? Kevin and Rhoda, are you now willing to surrender your will to God and to release and dedicate Carice Menu to the Lord for whatever purpose He has for her? Is it your desire to share your responsibilities with this congregation through inviting their prayers, counsel, and encouragement in Christian family growth? Okay, we as a congregation have heard their promises. And are you, as a member of this congregation, willing to commit yourself to assisting Kevin and Rhoda and to surround Carice Menu with grace, love, and patient teaching, both by word and deed? And if you could say yes, you would stand, please. And now, having presented Carice Menu for dedication to God, do you also desire to rededicate yourselves to Christ and in the spirit of this recommitment to live exemplary lives, relying upon the grace of God to model Christ by your example? Let's pray. God in heaven, we present this child to you this morning, Carice Menu Beachy. God, I pray, I thank you for this life. Thank you for this family. And God, I pray for your spirit of grace to be upon Kevin and Rhoda. God, give them patience and understanding of your will for this child as she grows up. God, and I pray your blessing upon Carice Menu this morning. God, would you protect her from the evil one as she grows. God, and I pray for a time when she understands that she was born a sinner and that she needs you as a Savior and that she would make that choice. And God, would you make it abundantly clear early in life your will for her life? We thank you for her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
My heart rejoices in the Lord. Oh, how the Lord has blessed me. Now I have an answer for my enemy as I delight in your deliverance. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no rock. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Stop acting so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. The Lord is a God who knows your deeds, and he will judge you for what you have done. Those who were mighty are mighty no more, and those who were weak are now strong. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The barren woman now has 7 children, but the woman with many children will have no more. The Lord brings both death and life. He brings some down to the grave, but raises others up. The Lord makes one poor and another rich. He brings one down and lifts another up. He lifts the poor from the dust, yes, from a pile of ashes. He treats them like princes, placing them in the seats of honor. For all the earth of the Lord, and he has set the world in order. He will protect his godly ones, but the wicked will perish in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Those who fight against the Lord will be broken. He thunders against them from heaven. The Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives mighty strength to his king. He increases the might of his anointed one. Amen.
Okay, I get you to sign your certificates yet? Ladies' parents kind of reminded me what it means to be serious about when you dedicate your children. I don't know if these girls were ever dedicated or not, but to be able to release your children for God's purpose and then have them move a couple thousand miles away, that was a blessing to be there. I would just give you, as a church, an opportunity to, if you have a word for these couples, I'll give you that opportunity to say that right now if you want to. If you want to bless them or advice from the older ones. You're older.
I would just say,
just to be able to raise children for God. Certainly is. I want to bless you in that. May he give you much grace and patience and wisdom. And may they grow up to win many to the Lord if the world tarries. Okay, would you stand for dismissal, please? Our Lord and Savior and God, we thank you for this time that we had this morning. God, we thank you for the children that you have blessed us with. Many children. And God, we do count them as a blessing. God, would your hand of protection be over all the children of this church and the parents. God, we need a whole lot of wisdom to be able to guide all this energy in the right direction. God, would we do so? God, would you keep impressing the importance of parenthood on us? God, I pray that as we go from here, that you would be honored and you would be blessed. And God, as we prepare for partaking in the communion service this evening, God, I pray that we would look at our hearts and come ready to share at your table and remember what you have done for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.